this night afresh to the Lord, praying that the Lord will draw near and meet with us. And will through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Praise God when we're saved with one who holds us by his mighty, powerful hand, the hand of the Lord himself. But just keep our seats as well as we sing the new format, so to speak, quietly and prayerfully unto the Lord. 431 as our sister leads us on the piano. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we rejoice afresh, O God, tonight in thy goodness and mercy and grace, O God, toward us, that even finds us here in this place where prayer is wont to be made. O God, we come before thee in no merit of our own. We do confess, O God, before thee that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, O God, in thy sight. Yet, O God, we thank thee for Christ, our Redeemer. We praise thee, O God, for him who is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And, O God, we thank thee for the perfect, sinless, spotless, flawless life of Christ. O God, we thank thee that he is indeed the altogether lovely one. And, Lord, thou didst speak from heaven and didst say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And, O God, we thank thee, O God, that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank thee that he went willingly to the cross of Calvary, and there he bore upon himself the judgment that we deserve for our sins. O God, thy word declares that he bare our sins in his own body to the tree. We realize, O God, that it was our sins that nailed him to the cross. And, Father, we thank thee, O God, that he made a complete atonement and sacrifice for sin on that middle tree when he cried out, "It is finished." And Father, we thank you, God, afresh tonight for that precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank you, God, that as thy people we can rejoice afresh tonight in the forgiveness of sins, that as far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. We thank thee that thou art a God who pardoneth iniquity. And, Lord, thy word and thy promise to thy people is that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy to us even throughout today. Thy hand upon us and our going out and our coming in. We thank Thee for Thy provision in our lives. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy preserving grace upon us, meeting our every need. And truly, Lord, as the people of God, we can say that we've lacked no good thing. And we thank Thee, O God, for Thy bounty. We thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. And we thank Thee, O God, for the promise of Thy presence with us day by day. And, O God, as we come before Thee, Lord, this night, we just pray for the blessing of God upon this prayer meeting. O God, You have promised in Thy Word that where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, our Savior Christ Himself has said, there am I in the midst. And, O God, we just pray that Thou wilt draw very near tonight. We ask, O God, for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us with power. And, O God, we pray that Thou wilt speak to us afresh from Thy Word, that Thy Word would be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that it will be an encouragement to our souls tonight, and that Thou would bless us and help us, Lord, through Thy Word to live out Thy Word, and that it might be a help and an encouragement to us as the people of God, as we travel on to heaven and on to glory, we ask. We thank the Lord for the great privilege of prayer. We rejoice, O God, in the access that we have right to the very throne room of heaven itself. And, O God, help us tonight to pray, to pour out our hearts before Thee. And, Father, we rejoice that Thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one now gathered with us here tonight. Bless each head bowed before Thee, every family and household, O God, that is represented. The Lord, with different needs and cares and burdens. And yet, Lord, we thank Thee that there's no limit with God. And, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt come and meet every need. Bless every family circle, Lord. Unite every family circle in the Lord. And, O God, we pray for loved ones and those that are still out of Christ, that Thou wilt speak to them, that Thou wilt awaken them, Lord, and that Thou wilt bring them savingly and believingly unto Thyself, we pray. Remember any who cannot gather with us tonight, just bless them. Lord, encourage them. Remember, Lord, those that are still shielding, shut in, we pray that Thou wilt draw near to them, we pray. And bless the ministry of Thy Word, even as it goes out online as well. And many people, Lord, far and near, who would listen to Your Word, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth to their hearts, as Thou alone would see their particular need. Again, we thank Thee for all those who heard Thy Word last Lord's Day. And we thank Thee even for visitors in at the drive-in service, and for those that may have heard Your Word unsaved. Lord, speak on to their hearts, and make them wise unto salvation. Again, Lord, we think of the forthcoming mission, Lord, at the end of this week, over the weekend. Bless Your servant. Prepare his heart. Anoint him with the Spirit of God night by night. And, Lord, bring many in to hear Your Word. And, Lord, may it be a time of rich blessing from the presence of the Lord. Bless our land tonight, Lord. Remember our nation, O God, we pray for good. Bless wherever Thy Word is faithfully proclaimed, every faithful effort at this time, be it missionary work, outreach work, door-to-door work, and open-air work as well over the summer season. Now do bless the labors of Thy faithful servants. And, Father, we pray that in many hearts and lives there will be a yielding to the call of God and the gospel, and many who will come and put their trust in the Lord for salvation, we pray. Father, do bless us now, we ask of Thee. Again, Lord, continue just to restrain this virus in our land, we pray. We give Thee thanks for Thy goodness in recent weeks and months regarding this in our province. And Lord, may it continue. Give healing to those that have been ill with this virus. And Lord, those that have suffered bereavement through it, Lord, continue to comfort them. And in their time of great need, we know what it is to look to the Lord for help and for grace. Be with us now, we pray, as we read Your Word, as we preach Thy Word, as we look to Thee in the place of prayer. Give us help, Lord. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that by Thy Spirit that Thou would help us, Lord, each one to call upon Thy name. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for Your honor and glory, O God, we pray. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in the Word of God to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 14. We're reading just from the verse 1 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 18. While you're looking that up, we welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you as we gather around the Word of God and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. The gospel mission commencing on Friday night, 8 o'clock, Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and then Lord's Day morning here in the church at 12, and then the final night of the drive-in mission at 7 on the Lord's Day evening. I remember the Lord's servant, the Reverend McCrae, as he comes as well, that the Lord would bless him and give him travelling mercies night by night, and that he know the help and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in preaching God's Word. There are wee invitation cards there for the mission. We encourage you to take those and give them out to friends and family or neighbours, whatever, and encourage them and invite them along under the sound of God's Word for those few evenings. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and the verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from thenceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 18. And our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The verses I want us to look at this evening is verses 13 and 14 there of that chapter that we've read from. John 14, verse 13 says, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now back in John chapter 13, there you find the Lord Jesus Christ warning the disciples that one of their midst, no doubt that was Judas Iscariot, would betray him. And no doubt this warning greatly perplexed the disciples. Well, following on from this in chapter 14, the Lord then seeks to bring great comfort and great encouragement to his own disciples. And this he does by reminding them that they had a home in heaven, a home that was secure for them through Christ. Look at what he says in verse 3 and verse 6 of the chapter. He says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then in verse 6 he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He reminded them of heaven, and he reminded them that it was through him, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, that they were sure and guaranteed a place in God's heaven. And following on from this, the Lord then goes on to further encourage his disciples by giving them some wonderful promises, three in particular. And what promises they were. In verse number 12, look at what he says there. You have the first of these promises. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." And here Christ tells his disciples that they would do a greater work than him. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, by these words, he means that the scope of their ministry, their earthly ministry, would be greater than the scope of Christ's earthly ministry. For his earthly ministry, his public ministry, was mainly confined to the Jews in the land of Israel, but their ministry was to reach out far and wide, even to the Gentile peoples of other nations around about. Yes, he gives them this promise that they would do a greater work. Then we see another great promise that he gives to them in verse 16 of the chapter. But he says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And here Christ speaks to the disciples of the promise of the Holy Ghost. Indeed, by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the disciples then would be enabled, they would be empowered, they would be equipped to do this greater work that he had promised them of taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. You turn over to Acts chapter 1 and to the verse number 8, you'll see the promise of the Holy Spirit in relation to that great work of taking the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In Acts 1 verse 8, before Christ ascends up into heaven, he says to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." How were they to do this greater work? Not in their own selves, not through their own strength, but through the power, the enablement, the endowment of God the Holy Ghost upon their life and upon their ministry. Yes, he promised that they would do a greater work. He promised that they would be enabled to do that work by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 13 and 14, the words of our text tonight, you see here also how the Lord gives the disciples another promise. This promise relates to the matter of answered prayer. For he says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And here he tells them that it is by praying in the name of Christ that they would see great blessing through prayer. No doubt be helped by prayer to take the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What an encouragement this was to the Lord's disciples that by prayer they could see much accomplished and much blessing in the work of God in their day and generation. No doubt you read through the early chapters of the book of the Acts. Read of the early church in the days of Pentecost. And one of the things you note about it was that it was a band of people who were faithful at the throne of grace and prayer itself. Yes, this promise was a great encouragement to the disciples at this time to pray and to seek the Lord. But as well as being an encouragement to the Lord's disciples in the day of the Lord himself, this promise here of answered prayer by praying in the name of Christ has also been a great encouragement to multitudes of God's people down throughout the years of time and throughout the history of the Church of Christ itself. Therefore, I believe it's a promise that is worthy of our consideration, even in a prayer meeting such as this this evening. That being the case, as we look then at this great promise of answered prayer, three things I just want you to note very simply from our text. Notice, first of all, here the people to whom this promise was given. In verse 13, Christ says, "Whatsoever ye ask." Notice that little word "ye" there. It refers to those people who have believed on Christ for salvation. And you see that in the preceding verse, verse 12, where it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." The "ye" there refers to those who believe in Christ as Savior. To believe in Christ as Savior means to accept Christ by faith as Savior and Lord. Yes, it means to depend upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for acceptance before Almighty God. Indeed, we can say this was the case with the Apostle Peter. Turn in your Bible, please, over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 18. And here you read of Peter's faith in Christ and the sacrifice of Christ for the pardon of his sins and acceptance with God. For speaking of Christ in 1 Peter 3 verse 18, he says, "For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And Peter was one whose faith was in Christ, in the sacrifice of Christ for the pardoning of his sins and for acceptance with God. He was one who believed on Christ and for salvation. Again, it was the same with the Apostle John. Speaking of Christ in John 1, verse 12, he could say, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And again, there was a time in John's experience when he received Christ by faith and he trusted him for salvation. He was one who believed on Christ for the saving of his soul, the forgiveness of his sins. Therefore, we can say tonight that this great promise here of Christ to answer prayer that's found in our text, indeed it is for you and I who are saved. Indeed, it is for all the people of God. And dear people, here we see one of the great privileges, one of the great blessings of being saved, of being a Christian. It is that we have the great blessing of prayer, being able to seek God. You think about that and think of the unsaved. The unsaved do not have this privilege. My, there is no prospect of answered prayer for the unsaved. My, if the unsaved person is to partake of the great blessing of answered prayer, they must first of all personally call upon Christ for their salvation. As the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Only then shall they be on praying ground and on pleading terms with God. Yes, we see the people to whom this promise is given. But notice secondly here, notice the condition that is associated with this promise. Look at verse 15, immediately following our text. It says there, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And here we see that if the believer is to see his or her prayers answered, they must seek to keep the commandments of God or to obey the commandments of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this is something that is vitally important for all of our lives if we are to see prayer answered. Yes, as Christians, it's important, yes, that we live right before the Lord, that we seek to honor the Lord by living out His Word. Yes, this is vital for a good testimony before others, but it is also vital for blessing in the place of prayer itself. You turn with your Bible back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. And to the verses 10 and 11. Here you have the Lord speaking to Joshua. Joshua is engaged in prayer. Here the Lord tells Joshua that his praying will be fruitless until the sin of Achan in the camp of Israel was dealt with. I'm sure you're all familiar with the account of how Achan had taken the accursed thing, that which was forbidden the Israelites to do when the city of Jericho was taken. And look at what the Lord says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel have sinned. And they have also transgressed my commandment, my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen, and assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." There the Lord was speaking to Joshua and was saying, Joshua, until the matter of Achan and his sin is dealt with, your prayers will be hindered. Your prayers will not be answered. Again, you think of what we read over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. It says there, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And again, there you see the link between answered prayer and keeping the commandments of God. Yes, it was the hymn writer who said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yes, it's important that we trust the Lord as his people, that we have faith in his word. But it's also vital that we seek to obey God's word in our lives as well. Yes, this is essential if we are to see blessing at the throne of grace in prayer. Yes, the people to whom this promise is given, the condition associated with this promise. But notice in the third place tonight, notice the practicing of this great promise. Look again at verse 13 there of John chapter 14. Notice what Christ says there. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. And then again, look at verse 14 and you'll see similar words. He says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Notice the double mention there of the word ask. Now, if the disciples here were to see the fulfillment of this great promise, then they had a personal responsibility to ask things from the Lord in the place of prayer. And child of God, the same responsibility applies to you and I as well as believers. In prayer, we must ask of the Lord. That's part of the great work of prayer, the believer asking of the Lord. My, if our needs are to be supplied in life, if our fears are to be quelled, if our sins are to be subdued, if our ways are to be directed by God, if our troubles in life are to be calmed by God, if our service for God is to be blessed of God, then we must ask for these blessings in the place of prayer. These are the things that we must ask the Lord personally for in our lives and in the circumstances that surround us. My, yes, for the practicing of this great promise, we must ask personally of the Lord. As we think of the forthcoming mission at the end of the week, let us be those who ask of God for this mission. Let us ask God to anoint the preacher, the evangelist, the Reverend McRae, with that power that comes from on high. Pray daily for him to that end, that he'll know the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Spirit of God coming upon him and the preaching of God's word. Let us ask God to bring the people in to hear the gospel night by night. It is something that is foreign to the natural man. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. And how we need to pray that God will draw the people to the marked car park night by night to hear the gospel. Let us ask God for that. Let us ask that God would save souls in the mission and through the preaching of his word. For the Lord has promised that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let us pray that God would revive his people even through the mission and the preaching of the gospel. Indeed, let us ask God that his name would be glorified in every part and in every detail of the mission. Indeed, let us ask God also for his protecting hand upon the mission night by night. Because you can be sure that the devil does not want to see the gospel going forth. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, and this prayer meeting even tonight, let us be those who ask of the Lord. Let us be those who call upon the Lord in prayer. Yes, this is what you and I, this is what we must do if we are to practice this great promise that is set before us in our text this evening. Think of the words of Christ again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And again, the thought is there of our responsibility to ask, just as a little child would ask mummy or daddy for someone, for something. As the children of God in prayer, we are to ask of God, our Heavenly Father. But also in the practicing of this promise, not only must we ask of the Lord, you'll notice something else in the practicing of this great promise. Further, the believer must pray, it says in our text here, in the name of Christ. You'll notice the double reference, the double mention here to Christ's name. In verses 13 and 14, Christ says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Again in verse 14, you see similar words. He says, "If ye shall ask anything," notice it, "in my name, I will do it." What did Christ mean there by the reference to his name being employed and the practice of asking of God in prayer? Well, in pleading the name of Christ and the throne of grace and the place of prayer, what does it mean? Yes, it means you and I, as we come before the Lord in prayer, remembering that there's nothing in ourselves whatsoever to merit God's favor and to merit God's blessing and prayer. There's nothing in ourselves, nothing in man. But it means, yes, that we remember that there's nothing in ourselves to merit God's favor and blessing in the place of prayer. But it also means us remembering as we come to pray, and always remember this, believer, as you come to pray, that our acceptance with God in prayer, it is all through Christ, Christ alone. It is all through the merit of Christ alone that we present our prayers to God's throne on high. That was something Paul never lost sight of in his Christian life. You remember what he said to the church at Ephesus? He says, "He hath made us accepted in the beloved." Paul knew that his service, in particular his prayers before God, were accepted through Christ, his Savior, his Redeemer. Again, this was something that the hymn writer kept before him as well. He says, "No works of merit now I plead, but Jesus take for all my need. No righteousness in me is found, except upon redemption ground." The hymn writer Daniel Webster Whittle knew that his only acceptance with God was in and through Christ and the merits of Christ. That's something we must always remember and keep before us as we pray, as we seek the Lord. Yes, in the place of prayer, perhaps our words may be few. Perhaps even our words might be feeble, so to speak. But believer in Christ, through the merits of Christ, through the merits of Christ's precious blood, through the merits of the perfect righteousness of Christ, who is Jehovah's King, we are accepted before God. Our prayers are accepted before the throne of God on high. That is what it means for you and I to pray in the name of Christ. And my, through the merit of Christ, God in turn has promised to bless us richly indeed, to bless his people richly, and to bless his church richly in the place of prayer through Christ. Through the merits of Christ alone. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter 8. And you'll see this for yourself. Romans chapter 8, verse number 32. Look at this great promise again about prayer. And how our prayers are accepted and can lead to great blessing through Christ. Romans 8, verse 32. Paul says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him," in other words, through him, through his merits, the merit of his sacrifice, his perfect righteousness, "how shall he not with him or through him also freely give us all things?" There you see how the Lord has promised to bless his people abundantly in prayer through Christ. Let that be an encouragement to you, believer, as you pray, as you come to the throne of grace. Yes, the devil and the flesh and the world would seek to intimidate us from praying and seeking the Lord. But always remember this, when you come to pray, when you offer up that petition before the Lord, be it silently, be it audibly from the lip. It may just be a few words, maybe spoken in weakness, but those words are accepted with God through Christ. Christ, our great high priest in the glory, takes those prayers, those petitions,
He presents them faultless, as sweet incense, the Bible says, before the throne of God on high. Well, that is what it means to pray in the name of Christ.
There's a story told that after the American Civil War, there was a veteran of that war, and he called at the home of his best friend who had been killed in the war. This war veteran now was in absolute poverty, and he presented a letter to the parents of his friend. And this letter had been written by his friend before he had died. And in the letter, the son asked his parents to be kind to his friend for his sake, because he was a good friend of his in the army. And sure enough, the parents, they honored the wishes of their son, and they showed that veteran great kindness and great compassion all the rest of his days. And they did it all for the sake of their son. Yes, that veteran was well cared for the sake of the son that they loved. And likewise, dear believer, for the sake of Christ, God's Son, God Himself, our Heavenly Father, has promised to richly bless you and I in the place of prayer. My speaking of that great promise, Christ Himself says in the words of our text tonight, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Yes, by these same words, may you and I be encouraged tonight to pray. Not only to pray tonight, but to pray every day of our Christian life. May God bless His Word, these thoughts to our hearts, and may they be an encouragement to our souls tonight to seek the Lord and call upon His name. Just some prayer requests I want to leave with you. Do remember the mission. Pray for that, for the Lord's servant as he comes to preach God's word, and the unsaved will come in. And remember the ongoing services, and then no doubt later on in the year, the children's work, Sunday school, youth work, these things recommencing again in the will of the Lord in the autumn time. Do pray for the sick as well associated with us. Remember Mrs. Joan Moore is home and is improving, but do continue to remember in your prayers day by day. Our sister, Mrs. Audrey Stewart, goes into hospital for surgery tomorrow as well. Do pray for her that she'll know God's hand upon her for good. Prayer has also been requested for Mrs. Delia Hogg. That's the mother of her sister, Mrs. Wendy Edwards, who was recently diagnosed just with cancer and is awaiting surgery and treatment as well. So do remember her in your prayers. She belongs to her church down in Castle Derg. And also her sister, Anne-Marie McDonald's mother, has been in hospital of late as well, and Cavan, and do remember her in your prayers. Remember also Mrs. Day and her brother John's mother as well in your prayers, that they know God's help and grace at this time. And there are others connected with us as well at this time who are ill, some waiting treatment and results and different things, and just pray for them that each one would know the help and the blessing of the Lord. Remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad, and that God's blessing would be upon them, and that the Lord would encourage them and bless them at this time of need. But we'll just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord. And men and women, young and old alike, if it's only just to thank the Lord for some blessing or for salvation, well, it's good to share our blessings. I encourage you to pray one with another and one for another, just as the Lord would lead us in prayer. Our gracious God.